schreiben, sag du, hä? Maybe in the moment what you could do, you could introduce yourself and your team, and then you could be my head. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Morning to every member of the House. I am Patrick Mongwe. I'm the acting executive director of the ICD. And on my right, Ms. Elise Fester. She's the chief financial officer of the ICD. And on my left, Mr. Tommy Chipalala. He's the head of investigation additionally for the ICD. Thank you very much. Permanent position, permanent actor. I mean, this position has been vacant for more than 2 years, 5 years, 4 years. It might not be fair to ask you the question, because you do not determine what your position is. But linked to that, we also note that in terms of your organizational structure, you're supposed to have around 500 or so posts, but you only have about 230 or so that are funded. Why the discrepancy?
Well, I have to start by saying, Chair, that 535, it was a proposed structure from 1997 by the DPSA when the ICD was established. And up until now, we are sending it 270. And We have continuously requested funding for the ICD in respect to fill these posts, but unfortunately, we have never received any resources whatsoever. The previous MTF, that request was submitted. Even this one, the current one, we have submitted the same request. And what will surprise you, I have to be honest, is that instead you are being laughed when we request such funding. It's very disappointing. And
I'm actually looking at the fact that we have so many police stations all over the country, and now your functions now include even the Metro Police. Now, with 270 members, I'm not certain if this does not set you up for failure as an entity in terms of executing your mandate effectively and efficiently. I know you will not be able to answer that question, but I'm just thinking aloud. It really doesn't make much sense to me. If we're a portfolio committee, maybe we'll be able to delve into these policy matters and have the minister responsible, talk to these matters. But that's not our area of focus.
I look at the challenges around the that is reported here, the challenges around leave administration, they all talk to personnel. You need to have sufficient personnel to be able to effectively, you know, do this kind of thing. And if you do not have sufficient personnel, then it already creates its own challenge. But within these constraints, maybe there's some light you can shed around this little expenditure, what has happened, what are you doing, the question of leave administration, to try and respond to the issues that have been raised by the Auditor General. I'll give you some time. I want him to respond first. Thanks, Chair. I may respond, I think, if I'm allowed. I think I have to respond in relation to all what the auditor's report was saying. In relation, firstly, to deal with the qualified...
let's do this. Let's deal with the regular expenditure and the leave administration.
Okay.
Only limited that.
Now, as far as the irregular expenditure, we had indeed an irregular expenditure of 113,000. I'm glad to report back that this has been attended to satisfactorily. I have to explain or break down what was this. This was an irregular expenditure in the sense that it contravened our own internal policies of procurement. We've got an internal policy in supply chain management. If you procure something from a service provider, you must have three quotations, and then those quotations, it's only then that the committee, if it's satisfied that you've got three quotations, it can approve that payment demand. So one of our junior staff members procured only two quotations from suppliers who were still within our database and had tax clearance. And the third one, we discovered that she did not verify whether this person or this supplier was still within our database and they had proper tax clearance. Therefore, it means she has contravened an internal policy because the amount was paid to one of the suppliers. And we are saying it should not have happened. It means the procurement was not improper. But it was services which has been rendered to the department. It was a report of the domestic violence, which we always table in Parliament every 6 months. So it was for services which have been rendered properly. It was only an internal contravention. And we approached National Treasury because the regulation says even if you have contravened your internal policy, you must approach Treasury and inform them and request for condemnation. And indeed, Treasury granted condemnation. Therefore, this is water under the bridge. And on top of that, the individual concern, we took appropriate actions against the individual. She was given a final written warning that she must adhere to our internal policy.
Right. Leave administration.
Leave administration. I'm glad to also to report back that we have now established a control leave register, which has been implemented from 2007, and We have now put in place directives that if an individual takes leave from various provinces, that leave first must be directed straight to our HR Army National Office, and the provincial head must also on monthly submit a list or a register of all his personnel who took leave. And therefore it means that we have got two controls: the individual who submit to us, and also the month-end provincial head. And on monthly basis, we go back and check from our personal printout to see whether this has been captured. And we are satisfied that what has been identified by the auditors is now everything been attended to. We have got proper control in place. All right.
Now, you have a very small staff complement. Now, when one goes through your annual report, I found that the bulk of the termination, 28 of them were transferred to other departments, and 14 were resignations. And very few have left because of disciplinary action. I think it's only one or so. Now, this I want to check what is it that you have put in place to maybe stem this tide of hemorrhage where people resign, people move to other departments, better putting strain on the few people that you're having.
Well, Chair, it's very difficult to address this problem as a department. We do have what we call a staff retention policy. But this staff retention policy is inadequate to address the way we are losing staff. Why is it, what is it which we have put in place? It is that we've got a policy whereby if a person informs us that I've got an offer somewhere, we assess the individual, we assess each and every case on its merits as to whether is there anything we can do as a department to counter offer the individual in order to make sure that we do not lose such skills. Or we say no, we can't. In most of the cases, that's what we are doing. We do counter offer. But what we are experiencing is that if we counter offer and our employer informs the new prospective employers, they even make another counter offer. And ICD does not have such resources in place to compete under those circumstances. We end up losing our staff under those circumstances, despite that we've got a policy of counter offering, because we just don't have resources in our coffers waiting for such things. We have got also within our policy what we call exit interview.
Switch on your mic.
We intend to find out why a person is intending to leave. And from our exit interview, we are always told that it's an issue of remuneration, that I have been offered much more than what I'm getting in here, and you guys cannot counter offer me. Now, so it means our policies cannot solve this problem. But what is it which we further decided to do in order to solve the whole problem? We did what we call job evaluation, because we have learned that all our staff are complaining about salary. We got a consultant to do job evaluation, which is a scientific finding, which confirmed that ICD is paying its staff salaries which are not in competition with other departments. We approached National Treasury. We have entered into discussion with our political principal and showed them that this is the reasons why we are losing. Even now, we have also submitted the outcome of the job evaluation, which we think was going to address this issue. But unfortunately, we don't get resources to address this issue. So I'm saying all what we have as policy cannot help us. The only thing which was going to help us is that the result of the job evaluation, which has been done by outsiders, not by ourselves, if we get money that we implement this, it's going to solve this problem. Other than that, no.
Okay. I also see that in your cases of misconduct and disciplinary hearings, you had 20 cases. And out of that 20, 18 have final written warnings. Which means you have people who are working on thin ice to further deplete the limited stuff that you have. I would want to emphasize the point that out of the 20, 14 were guilty of pornography, which means instead of doing work, they sit in the office and run around in the internet. Not capture new forms and all these other processes that they need to do. So I don't want to say it's a bleak, it's a disturbing situation in terms of capacity of the system. And I suppose it's something that your political principles, if they have the interest of this structure at heart and understand the important work that it has to do, we certainly need to give it sufficient capacity. But I think these are matters that we'll probably take on board when we write our report. So that clearly the objective and the mandate for which it was established can be realized. The last bit from me, the last two bits, is your internal audit. I see that in the report it says it was subject to an external practice review. What has been the external practice review report like? We know that your internal control structures have been going through a process of rebuilding, but we're not sure whether you have your classical one step forward, two steps back situation, or we're moving forward continuously in that aspect.
Thanks, Chair. I think it's important that I also respond on the first one of the cases of written warning. As we have already indicated, those were cases where we, as you have already indicated, that people were watching this pornography, which have been attended to. But I have to say that of all the 20 cases, none of the persons is guilty of misusing ICD funds. There's no person who has been found guilty in ICD for misappropriation of funds or misusing of funds, other than contravention of internal policy. And I, together with manager, realized that in some of the policies which resulted in us continuously issuing warning to people, we got an advice from National Treasury that we must revisit and look at these policies because some of them were shooting ourselves. We made policies when there are national policies to deal with it, or we made policies on things which necessarily did not even want us to go to National Treasury and request National Treasury to condone. It was a matter whereby we were shooting ourselves and we have attended to that. Now, in the question of the internal audit, indeed it's correct. We were assessed by outsiders in terms of our internal audit. And one important finding was that when they were doing this assessment, it was that they would partially accept the findings of the internal audit. But now, after we've attended to that report from the outsiders, we put in place all what they indicated. And now I'm happy to say that the auditors, when they were auditing us, have now concluded that they are now prepared to place reliance on the findings of our internal audit. What does it tell us? It tells us that our internal audit now has complied with the rules and regulations in order also for the Auditor General to rely on the findings which have been made by our internal audit. But I have to also emphasize that from the assessment by the outsiders, the report was that it was a shame that people who are meaning the internal audit are remunerated to that level. Because the head of our internal audit, who is always continuously inundated with calls to be coached, is at the level of an assistant director. And that was a recommendation that this is totally unacceptable. You cannot have a person who is doing such a serious work earning such kind of a salary. And it is one of our submissions to National Treasury that please, can you guys give us resources to implement the job evaluation results? Because we are also going to lose these guys who have started internal audit within ICT, putting in place all what was lacking, and now to an extent that you as Auditor General will rely on their findings, but the remuneration is not there.
Okay. Yeah, the last question from my side is on the issues that led to your qualification. Six assets. And there are three issues there that have been identified by the Auditor General. Evaluation of assets, assets not having barcodes, and assets of less than 5,000 rand being incorrectly included in the total for capital assets. What measures have you taken to correct these inadequacies?
Thanks, Chair. I'm indeed at the moment proud with my management to report back to the House that all issues which have been identified in relation to this qualification have been attended in the following way. We have made sure that we have barcoded all ICD assets. We have opened register for minor assets and major assets, as indicated. We have made sure that the assets have now been verified. And we have also engaged with the auditors in order to correct the issue of the assets which were said were amounting to 29 million which were not verified. And we all agreed that the only assets which were not verified were only 14,936, which at the end of this March have all been verified to their satisfaction. So there, that 29 million was inflated because there was an error or an oversight on part of ourselves of classifying things, even intangible, as assets. Things like IT, right software were classified as assets, and it was not supposed to be. And that has been corrected, and the auditors are happy. So we have indeed verified the assets.
All right. Honorable Trent?
Thank you, Jim. You've covered the major issues, but maybe there's just a few matters of clarity, and then I have a few other questions. The one on your establishment, I think we need to just get clarity. You said that the establishment of 535 odd was what you had proposed. Yet the Auditor General refers to your establishment as approved. So So I think we just need to get clarity on that, because if it's approved, then it means that whoever is approving it is satisfied that you would be adequately staffed to carry out your mandate. Now, can we just get clarity on that? Is it a proposed establishment or approved, and if it's approved, by whom is it approved?
Thanks, Chair. The 535 is an approved structure of 1997 when a work study was done, because government have recommended that a body such as the ICD must be established. It was said that for a body such as this to function properly from inception, it must have 535 staff members. So I am saying, till today, we are standing at 270, despite this approved structure. When you request funding for this, instead of you getting money for this, you're being left.
All right. Okay.
And if I can go on, because it also flows from that issue, your turnover percentages, and you've explained that very adequately to the chair, and I'm happy that you have this policy, but what concerns me is you simply said the policy is not working, and you told us that salaries was the main problem. Now, my question is, because you're losing a lot of people to other institutions. In fact, if I look at on page 15, your highly skilled and skilled level and highly skilled supervision level make up almost 160, 170 of your total complement. Now, where are these people going to at those levels? Are they going to SAPs, or where are they going to the majority?
Sense.
The most important
one factor which is contributing to this thing is that the ICD has been leveled as a flat structure department. A flat structure. In the sense that when you are within the department, it's not easy for you to have what we call career growth. We are one of the departments whereby we're having people at level 4 as of the previous financial year. It's only now that we've got staff at level 5. Now, if you are at level 5 as an admin officer, for example, and you are within the department, you'll expect that for you to have what we call a career growth, there will be a post which is going to be advertised of a senior admin officer within ICD, perhaps, for you to apply for that post in order to go to level 7. Unfortunately, we don't have that level 7 within ICD. That's when we say it's a flat structure. Why you don't have such a level? It's because the money which is being allocated to you will not even be enough for you to cater for persons from level 5 to level 7. There's just no money for them. The money which you have usually is to beat inflation. It's not money which is allocated to you in order to create new posts towards the 535. No. It is for you to beat inflation. It is the money which is allocated to you only to answer the Auditor General's query. I'll give you an example as far as including the issue of the asset management. The reason why we got the qualification, it was because ICD does not have asset management unit. And the only why we got this money is because we got the qualification for assets, and we said, look, why we got qualification is because you guys cannot give us money to establish an asset management unit. Then you get money at that time. So people leave us from level 5 to go to level 6 in other departments. Because ICD cannot counter-offer the majority of these people who are leaving. It is not people in top management position who are leaving. It's people between level 5 and level 8.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I think this is the same problem that we got from ICU last time that they were with us. But what concerns me is in order for you to carry out your mandate, you are investigating misdemeanors by police officers. Many of them are highly qualified investigators themselves, and therefore, if you don't have a level of expertise in your department, then it's problematic to you. I just make that comment, Chair, because I to me this is an unacceptable situation. And I have one or two compliments to pay you, but I have one or two other smaller issues about that. Chair, I think we need to, this matter really needs to be considered very seriously. Because it lies at the core of the problem. This is what the gentleman's been telling us right now. If I can go then to areas where you did touch and maybe where I could just continue. When it comes to assets, happy to hear what you've told us about the assets, but I have a concern here. You say on page 10, under maintenance, the ICD occupies rented lease buildings and does not own any property. In view thereof, we are not affected by backlogs in maintenance, and yet in your disclosure notes, the annual statements on pages 112 and 113, you actually have non-residential buildings in your accounts or in your books to the value of 991,000, almost a million rand. Now, I'm just wondering how that happened.
If
that's problematic, we can get a reply. At this.
Are you able to give us a response?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Sure.
Let me allow my CFO to quickly respond to that one.
Chairperson, are you referring to on page 112, the non-residential buildings?
That's right.
There you are. Chairperson, it was in connection, if I'm not so sure now at this very moment, but I know that it was King Williamstown, our offices there. We had to upgrade the office space that we took there from, I think it was from a court building or whatever, that we had to incur the expenditure there. There's also our Johannesburg office that we had to incur expenditure there. It was old or offices that was used by the police of Gauteng, and we had to improve the buildings there, the expenditure that we had to incur there. But since then, we have moved out of both these buildings.
So in other words, that expenditure was incurred for buildings that you did not own. Okay, and did you recover that at all from, was that part of your rental agreement?
Chairperson, it is public works buildings. It was government-owned buildings. But public works, because it was for us, it was new staff or additional staff that we had to now situate in these two provinces, and the rule of National Treasury, if there's additional new staff that has to be accommodated, the first 2 years of expenditure in terms of accommodation for such new staff members has to come from a department's own budget. In this case, public works was not responsible. We had to effect those expenditure out of our budget to open up these offices.
Okay.
Right. See, that's the explanation is good. I don't know if that's doing good business, but the explanation is okay. Chief, I'm just concerned about the special investigation, which is something that came from last year. You'll find it in your responses to scope of resolutions. The special investigation, that's paragraph on the AG's report, paragraph 14, special investigation, and you also will find that on page 86 of the report, and that is in your response to SCOPA. And you end off by saying that a letter was submitted to the PSC to urge for the conclusion of the investigation and the submission of the report to the AG. and the HOD. Now, this thing goes back to the November 2004. What has happened to that special investigation report, and what are the relevant details? Why has it taken so long? I know you say the Commission for Administration are doing it, but what is the problem?
Thanks, Chair. This investigation has long been completed. Unfortunately for us as ICD, we cannot disclose what is contained in the findings, because the report was never shared with us. It was sent directly to our political principal. So up to today, we know that they have the findings of the report. As to what were uncovered, we don't know, and it was never forwarded to us, unfortunately.
But therefore, as far as you know, no action has been taken regarding the findings of the report. And when you say your principals, are you talking about the Ministry of Police? Is that?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, our political principal is the Minister for Safety and Security. So the report has been forwarded to them, not to the ICD. So we do not know what are the contents of that report. It's unfortunate that when the auditors audit ICD, they keep on hammering this, but we always keep on saying that ICD cannot know the contents of this. It's known by the Office of the Minister. It has never been shared with us.
Thank you, Chair. Then, if I can go to an interesting concept which you raise on pages 49 to 51 of the report, and if you can just go there, 49 to 51. It's got to do with compliance. I'll find a place for you now. You did a survey in terms of where you did a study and find out whether SAPS have complied with recommendations that you make, the ICD. You know, in the same way, the Commission for Administration makes recommendations to various departments. Clearly, you've made recommendations. And, Chair, I'm not going to read them, but there are five very significant recommendations that I see on page 51, and just to go quickly, you're recommending that section 53 of the Police Act should be amended so that deficiencies can be addressed in terms of your mandate. It should also be considered to provide in the Act for the regulation for regular inspections at police officers to determine the outcome and impact of ICD recommendations. And there are six of them, five of them. It appears to me that SAPS don't take any notice from this report or of these recommendations. And clearly, if it's part of your mandate to monitor police stations and the way, you know, SAPS behave, then clearly that is unacceptable. Well, what is the problem there?
Well, this recommendation came out from our research. Because we as an ICD, we are experiencing frustration where we have made recommendations, for example, in disciplinary cases against some police officers who have committed some misconduct, and only to find that our recommendations are not complied with. Only to find that from our recommendation of perhaps of a harsher sanction, a written warning has been issued by the SAPS management to the Iran police office. And we are not informed as to why they choose to impose a warning than what ICD have recommended. And in response, the police are informing us that the relationship between the policeman and themselves is employee-employer relations, which is governed by legislation. It's got no room for ICD. So they have imposed a sanction or a sentence which themselves as employer deem fit under the circumstances. So if you get such a response, it is clear to you that you are not playing any role whatsoever in correcting the errant behavior of the police, because your recommendations are just null and void. So hence we said, it it's clear that there is a legal lacuna, which, if it's legislated and make it compulsory for the police to implement the recommendation of the ICD, or if the police management do not want to recommend to apply the recommendation of the ICD, they must engage or report back to the ICD as to why they cannot impose the recommendation. That's all what we're asking for, because we're saying, in fact, it means just a waste of taxpayers' money. If we go all out and investigate the police using all kind of resources, when we come with a recommendation, one does not even bother to look at, because they've got a relationship of employer and employee, which we are not supposed to play any part. What is the use? Those came out because of fetch. And we will say that we are asking the legislature to come to the party in order to make legislation to incorporate certain section within the sub-act, which will provide and take care of that.
Yeah, I'm glad the acting director has actually almost answered my next question before I even asked it. And, you know, he was kind. He said that it's a waste of taxpayers' money. You know, I would think that this is fruitless expenditure if I take no notice of you. And we're spending, it's not a fortune, but if I have it correctly, or budget for 2007 is just short of 66 million. I don't know what it is this year. But to me, it's a waste of money not a waste of time what you're doing, but a waste of money. Nobody takes any notice of what you're doing. It's a similar problem too that you know I have with Commission for Administration. That's why I specifically looked at that area, because I'm terribly concerned. We had the same story the last time that they were with us. Chair, just quickly, I'd like to conclude by first of all saying that I want to congratulate you for replying or dealing with scope of resolution so comprehensively in this report. I think we need to congratulate you on that, because we don't often get that. And we really appreciate that, and it makes us feel that what we're doing is a worthwhile exercise, and the AG as well. You take notice of what the AG is, and I just want to put that on record. And the other thing which is, I find also positive, to conclude on a positive note, is that in your case, the AG is generally happy with the performance information that he's got from you, and you've put in place, and I'm not going to quote in the interest of time in this report, you've put in place systems now so that your performance information is reliable, and we like that, because the next step, as you said, is to link the performance information to actual performance. And, you know, Chair, I think that that's also nice to read that in a report. I always like to look at the performance information, and it is there, and it's good. We really appreciate that. And maybe you can just give us a quick answer as to how far are you now, because there aren't many departments that are that far. Once your performance information is reliable, the next step, of course, is then actual performance. Where are you with that?
I think that was the last question on our chat. So we wrap it up. Then we'll hand over to Honorable Matikil.
Thanks, Chair. Louis. Yes, indeed, I thank you for the complimentary. It's rare, in fact, to get them from SCOPA. But I'm glad that they are based on what you are tangible, you can read. Now, I need to say that in response to what you have said, when we took over as the new management at the ICD, we made sure that, you will remember that when we appeared here the last time, we had a qualification and a disclaimer. When we took over, we removed the disclaimer. Once you get a disclaimer, it's totally embarrassing. You came with the qualification, which we have responded as we have put to the Honorable House. And now I'm confident and proud to say that the ICD is not going to get a qualification. From what we have done up to now. So I'm glad to report to SCOPA that we've indeed done our part, played our role, and making sure that despite the difficulty we're experiencing as ICT management resources, with the little resources we have, we've put them to good use, and we're proud of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Once again, I want to apologize for the little hiccup in the morning, but all is well that ends well. We do acknowledge indeed the progress that has been made, and I think Honorable Trent was speaking for all of us. When you first appeared before us, the reasons were given was the lack of resources, lack of personnel, the instability in terms of people leaving the entity and all that. But I think it all boils down to leadership, and we have ably provided that leadership for those who have eyes to see, at least scope it out if I see it. I hope that it is something that even if not everybody sees it, at least you know it, you and your team, you know it, deep inside yourself, proud that you have something tangible that you can prove to everybody that you've done your work and you've done it well, or at least to your satisfaction. I think the issues that we were concerned about, especially around asset management, you know that this is a prevalent problem in almost all departments. We're happy that it's resolved. The one issue that appears to remain a gray area is one around staffing. And the question of leadership, we have been in an active position for a long time. And God forbid somebody new comes in and would come with his or a new plan and start from scratch. And take us one or two steps back. But no, thank you very much for your time, Auditor General's office. So thank you very much. We'll see you in an easy day in the office today. Didn't have much controversy except the ringing of that phone. I see now that someone from Treasure. I don't know if in this discussion that we've had there are any issues that you'd want to respond to. Just in case, I'm just checking with you, because I do recall that when we're discussing ICT, there at a time we had to call it Treasure.
Yes, thank you, Chase. Stephanie Peterson from National Treasury, working on the budget of ICT. I just want to respond to the issue on the structure of the approved structure of 535. It's not true that National Treasury laughed at the ICD when they request additional funding. It has been approved, or that it will be a phased increase of personnel over the years. And it has, each year when the ICD comes for additional funding, or there's a bid to increase their personnel, within the limited resources, they do get money to increase their personnel establishment. And they did.
Which limited resources?
The the limited resources that must be dished out for the whole country, for social and education, etc., etc.
But we have a surplus, don't we? So limited would certainly not apply in this particular instance. Maybe the fundamental question would be, is there a time frame within which this increment must have reached that 535? So that you're able to say per year, we're going to increase by, say, 20 or 30 or 25, so that within this time frame, we must have covered that stuff completely.
I'm not sure if there was an agreement on that previously, but what I can say is that the ICT budget has increased more than what the inflation rate, or more than what other departments what in our protection cluster has received. And the problem also in the past, historically, the ICD had a lot of vacancies each year, and they struggled to fill their post or to retain their employees. It is now for the first year, the end of 2007, that we could see that they had a vacancy rate of 2.42%, because what happened in the past, they couldn't fill their vacancies, and then personnel funds would be shifted to goods and services or to capital expenditure, etc. And that was also a trend that were looked upon when decisions or recommendations had to be made to Min Combat in terms of past spending and how they utilize their HR budget, etc., etc. But I must say there has been much improvement, because this year, at the end of 2007-08, there was a vacancy rate of 2% compared to historically 10% per annum. So, the post establishments have grown, because each year we give them additional funds to employ additional personnel, and we even last year provide money for the ICD to improve the salary level of the investigators, which also helped a lot in terms of their retention.
I think that the area of concern for me are time frame. That's why I wanted to know, is there a time frame in which to, but of course taking into account what you mentioned about the lack of stability, I do remember that when we first met the ICD and there was a complaint around resources, the retort from National Treasury was, we can't give you more money when you can't manage with the little that you're having. So I think there were those dynamics in terms of pouring money into an entity that had some elements of stability. But thanks to Mr. Mongwe and his team, there is some sense of stability. And maybe based on that, we may need to say how do we put time frames so that they're able to reach the staff complement that is agreed upon.
I'm very concerned, because if I'm correct, you said this establishment was agreed to way back in 1998, 10 years ago. We're not even at 50% yet. Now, on that basis, it's going to take us another 10 years to get to an establishment that was designed for a situation 20 years back. And by that time, the size of the salary of police service is increasing every year, too. You yourself mentioned the fact that they are now also asked to monitor municipal police forces. Chair, I'm deeply concerned about this, and the fact that we are told here this morning that they cannot compete with the level of salary. And I really think that something critically needs to be done. We're not talking about billions of rands here. We're talking about a few, not even 100 million rands. It must be one of the smallest budgets of any institution in government. And I don't think this is a good situation at all.
Okay.
No, my word to the Treasury. I think there has been a very consistent through most of the departments who always don't use their money at the defined surplus. With more than 40-60%, it's always more. So why don't you collect that money and transfer it? What is the reason? Can you tell us? because it is not on one. It has been, and then we are up to here. We have got a problem with them. Now, why don't you do that? Because we keep on having these votes. They are votes. We are going to pass the meeting today. So what prevents you there? Is there any ministry who influenced you over the other ministry?
Unfortunately,
no,
I cannot answer that.
No, hang on. I think it would be unfair to respond to that question. If Parliament had passed legislation to amend money bill, then it would be up to us to take from those departments that consistently have qualified audits, grab a few millions there and put them to ICT. But now we can't. So, but I think what we, and I also hear what the Treasurer is saying, that the entity, well, the chicken and egg situation, if it has less budget, it can't retain staff. And if it can't retain staff, you can't give the money. So what should come first?
Yeah.
But now, fortunately, under Mr. Mbowe's stewardship, there is stability. Now, I'm saying, maybe based on that, there might be a need to review the pace. And as Comrade Bukeng, I think it was Honorable Trent, that staff establishment was done more than 10 years ago. The SAPN is growing annually. Now, will that structure still be relevant in relation to the size of the area of monitoring that they must do? So I think that it does call for a review of the structure itself. I think so. Thanks very much. I was doing my thank you before I got stuck everywhere. No. It was important. Two things, members. Tomorrow, after the... What did you say? Tomorrow is housing. The provincial head, together with the National House, National Department, and... I'll liaise with the Comrade Hlangwane just to confirm off my head. I'm thinking the performance audit, whether I would want to have focus areas or would just deal with it like we dealt with health, and just ask everyone to go and prepare. And also that after that hearing, I hope it's put it out. We'll get to the Sawit briefing. I see Zanelli noting that no, it won't happen. Can you tell us what is it going to happen tomorrow or what's happening?
I think it's supposed to happen tomorrow, but there's no briefing. The report has been sent by the external auditors to our auditors. It's clean. So I don't think it's fair that our auditors will be able to brief something that is clean, which they didn't prepare.
Okay. No, it's fine. Hear you. Let's see how we get around it. But thank you very much, members. Very much. The meeting has come to an end.